Adrian.
And this is Ethan.
And this is Whiskey and Wires, brought to you by Intuitive Networks, where we talk all things tech.
And all things whiskey.
And we are back with another Whiskey and Wires. What's up, boys?
Hey, hey.
What's happening?
How you doing? Yeah. It's been a hot minute, huh?
It has. Yeah, it has.
You guys have been doing summer things?
Yeah, and Adrian is still not back.
No. He is gallivanting across God's green earth, enjoying all the fruits that it has to offer.
Busy, busy man.
Yep.
And now he's got a little man cold. He's listening to this, be like, you son of a bitch.
It's the black lung, Pop. I can't go into work, Dad.
Well, to make up for it, we actually invited one of our buddies in.
Yes.
James, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello. I am James, also known as the friendly neighborhood bald guy, depending upon where I'm at the time.
We have wigs in here if you want to put one on. You could be a centennial forefather.
I could go anywhere between a Pirates of the Caribbean extra and a founding father. Mm-hmm. That is a good run. I like it.
There's a lot. You could also be Bob Ross.
That it would be good.
We only have video here.
I have a right Bob Ross.
Oh, man. Yeah, and so you are a top secret classified S4 like... Yeah. Level 2.
Double secret probation.
Yeah, for cybersecurity and all things. Yeah.
Officially, I'm a senior cybersecurity engineer at a company I'm not allowed to mention.
Yeah.
I was basically told, like, if you mention where you're from, it becomes an issue. If you don't say where you work, you can say whatever you want. I went, I like that already better.
Well, the pleasure toy industry is very secretive.
It is.
And they got to make sure all their manufacturing,
all
their logistics.
Until the box shows up at the door and it's that weird shape.
You ain't gonna know.
Exactly.
And quite frankly, the less legal councils that need to listen to my voice, the better.
Yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
No, but I'm juiced. I'm actually excited to hear, because today we're going to be talking about it from two sides of the house. Like right now, or majority of shows we've been talking about on the MSP side, but you're the in-house side and just kind of the different things that you see, you know, pros, cons, or whatever it is. But as always, we've got some tasty treats. Mr. Ed, what do we got today?
Today we have a Michter's Straight Rye Kentucky Single Barrel.
Mm.
It's amazing.
I'm pretty excited about that. I have had a Michter's, but not that one.
There's many Michter's.
I know. But this one is mine.
Yeah, yes. It's straight rye.
Gotta love the rye.
And you're a rye man.
Oh, so this and the McKenna, the Henry McKenna, was that the control burn? Is that our second taste?
No, that's our second.
And that one's bottled in bond. It's a Heaven Hill product.
Now, why did you bring this one? Because you usually have a keen, like, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I want to bring in. Like, what made you grab the Michter's besides what was on the shelf?
First, you like ryes.
We
spoke about ryes, and I spoke about some bottles that had just gotten in.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of them?
This is one of them.
Yep. Yeah.
Man.
It is a solid rye. It is definitely one of my favorites as well.
Do you typically go and talk about cybersecurity things while you're having some whiskey or some bourbon, some whatever?
To an extent, but it's more along the lines of kind of like the happy hour. Like, can you believe this just happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like proactively talk about this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, well,
we have our job, right?
Yeah,
yes, we do.
100%. Is this the control burn?
No, we don't have a control burn, but we're gonna do a control burn.
Yeah, this is a generous pour, and we're gonna let it burn a little bit.
Well, to another show. Always Cheers. A pleasure. Always boom, boom, boom. You can hear it all with our special guest. I gotta taste this thing.
You.
Damn, that is spicy.
Yeah, yeah. This is
why it's so spicy.
I absolutely love rye as well, and this is one of my favorites that I've tried. Ed shared it with me for the first time a couple weeks ago, every opportunity.
You know what's funny? This has been, matter of fact, this recording and the last few have been by far the only times I have had straight. I have been, hold your breath, I've been putting like bubble water in all of it with ice, and it is my go-to.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit more on the blasphemous side that the people listening were going to be like,
I don't know,
what's this motherfucker doing?
Yeah. I was like, I think it's like alcohol and smoking, whatever you do, like for cigars and things, there's never a like, oh, what's wrong with you? That's a bad one.
Yeah.
Everyone has their thing.
Their own.
I knew the people in the military, it was like, if it was Jim Beam or nothing.
Yeah.
And I was like, first of all, that means you're a very cheap drunk, and good on you.
Yeah.
You don't know what life is like on the other side. Enjoy.
Usually maintainers.
And they needed to get out of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They needed to get out of the South.
there was definitely a draw in his voice. Well played.
I know. I'm just saying. It was the same thing. Well, then this guy over here, he does not like Pete's.
No.
We've talked about it. Yeah.
No Petey. No Scotch.
I'm half Irish and half German, so I think that's probably that is the, you know, so I get drunk and talk about taking over the world. But that is definitely the Pete.
I'm gonna dominate.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, so switching gears as we enjoy this. Did you have anything to add specifically to this? Like why it's so special for everybody listening?
Michter's, they always claim to be the first whiskey maker in the U.S.
Yeah, I thought that was Buffalo Trace.
They consider themselves the first.
How do we gauge that?
That's where they get their U.S. one.
Really?
Yeah.
So I did not know that. I actually learn a lot on this show.
Yeah.
I don't know half the shit you guys bring up.
Yeah. No, I'm a longtime listener, first time biker.
Biker? Yeah.
So I've been, there's a few times I've been like, well, that's awesome. I know that. Ed. Ed never's dropping this on a normal day.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, they're also one of the first, or one of the only ones, there might be others that I'm not aware of, that used a virgin American-made oak barrel, kind of like the bourbon industry does.
Yeah.
So they use a fresh barrel when they make these.
So, all right, I'm just going to use pure logic.
Yep.
If you're the first one that made this in the U.S., you didn't have French oak because it wasn't here yet. So that would make sense that you would be using the only tool or resources that are available to you.
Right.
So in a way, it's like, that's all we had. They weren't like inventive. They were just like, this is all we have.
They also claim to be the first rye too. So now back then, rye bourbon or rye whiskey was more common than the standard, like 51% corn. That was popular once, you know, bourbon became the United States.
The jam for everything. Yeah, pre-prohibition.
Where it was 51%. Now, they do follow an over 51% of rye. They're just not stating how much rye.
Mm.
So it's unstated.
Got it. Well, I've been listening to some Joe Rogan, and Joe, have us on here if you hear this. But his dad's claimed that Buffalo Trace is the oldest distillery in the United States. So I don't know if I missed something.
If they paid you as much as they pay him, he would be talking about them being the first.
Facts, boys. Facts.
There's also a lot of different angles that you can take with that, because almost every distiller, the big distilleries, right? Like we have the Heaven Hill here. We have the Michter's. You were talking about Buffalo Trace.
Yeah.
All of these big ones have their claims to the first, right? Where they, if they word it a certain way, like, yeah, we were the first bourbon with the burnt barrels.
Yeah.
Well, that,
yeah, it follows, that's true.
That follows...
Right.
That one falls on Elijah Craig.
Right.
Yeah. So that's it. That's marketing right there. That's being first to market.
You can phrase it in a certain way to make it, yeah, we were the first. It was 2 years after the other guy started making whiskey, but we were the first to do it.
Totally.
You know, that sort of thing. So all the big distilleries kind of have their claims to fame.
Yeah.
We were the first one to tap the bunghole. Yep. All the wine people are like, no, you weren't. Idiots.
Yep.
Stupid.
They're staring at you through the powdered wig going, we did it before it was cool.
We did it when we had wooden teeth, bitches. Oh, man. Okay, so cybersecurity. I want to talk about that. What have you guys been hearing in the news lately? Obviously, you have to be in tune. And I'm thinking all this AI. Yeah, I mean, we've heard about that. All the hacking going on there. And the whole about Twitter turning to X. Like,
yep.
What is I mean, obviously, people that listen know. But like, give it from your professional side. What is it?
I wake up much like the president, and you stare at the news and just kind of go, well, this is a new bad thing I get to deal with today.
Yeah.
And it's normally constant, and it does ebb and flow, almost like when you see, you know, traffic on your phone, you can go like, oh, that's a bad spot there. That's a bad spot there. And certain times of year, it gets worse depending upon, especially around 4th of July, everyone loves to rain on America's parade.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of uptick there.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever looked. That's a really good way of positioning. That's like traffic. It's there's rush hour. There's not.
I got dropped in my head as a kid. So my connections are just. But I'd say one of the biggest ones recently, and it does tie in between a little bit of AI, but definitely ChatGPT, is there's a guy who basically created a malware version of ChatGPT.
Yo.
And so it's legitimately just like, I want to hack my ex's iPhone. And you click a button and it will write you the code for it. And right now it's like an 85% accuracy.
No.
But it's kind of like, it's literally, we've gotten you close for special teams to kick the ball in. So even if you have no clue how to code,
yeah,
30 minutes of Googling and maybe a Java book, Python most likely, you'd be able to cross the finish line with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you seeing that more?
I don't know if he's released the source code yet.
But no.
Yeah,
no.
He's like imminent. We're talking days and that will be in the wild.
It's one of those things where right now ChatGPT will write you non-malicious code, white hat, everything like that. And it's accurate to a certain extent. It's not supposed to be usable out of the box, but it gets you pretty close.
Yeah.
This guy basically, you know how when you put in certain things to ChatGPT, it says, sorry, I can't do that. I have ethical boundaries.
BS.
He took away some of those ethical boundaries and, you know, took away some of that learning, allowed it to expand in that way. And now it's numbers, right?
Wow.
All it does is a certain wall has been taken off, so it expands its numbers and its database into that way.
Does this guy you refer have a name?
Yeah, so in these kind of situations, that's how you know that it's really scary, is you don't hear a name. You'll just hear some weird handle, Laser Mama. There are some crazy people names, and it kind of sounds like early 2000s Xbox Live handles.
Yeah,
they usually
are. If it sounds like that, you know you're dealing with somebody who means business.
So that's crazy. It sounds so criminal when you can do all these other things, and for him to release that, and everybody's like, oh, here's the comment. Why aren't people just sniping this dude?
But mostly because, again, there's that level of anonymity.
Yep.
He's really good bourbon.
Yeah. He's already done.
So I assumed that was the control bourbon until I'm like, I'm sitting here with an empty glass. I'm like, so cool. I thought that tasted familiar.
I'm sipping.
Right then. So on the upside of if he says he's getting into it, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that's why I gave you extra big pour.
Indeed. Okay. Right. Makes sense. The first time on. That's the special.
He's gonna start giving the Chewbacca theory from South Park.
If he has a handle, he's a Wookiee.
It does not make sense. But yes. So it's now the upside is that he says he's doing that. Yeah. So if people can maybe figure out what he had access to. So there's levels of reverse engineering.
Right.
You can then now get ahead of blocking whatever he has implemented or whoever he got that. Let's say he has the open source ChatGPT, they can put extra things in place. Cause I mean, I have not got to the AI episode yet. I'm sorry.
No. What is the name of his platform?
Well, we'd have to get back to you on that one.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't remember the name of it.
It's one of those things. And it does kind of throw a little bit of a wrench into it. Cause a lot of folks, when they go into it, this is a very common thing to have it happen where people they break into something and they threaten to release the open source and they say, hey, this is how I did it. They usually get paid off by the company. They show them how they did it and they walk away with a paycheck and anonymity.
Yeah.
It's very common. It is
classic ransomware to a certain extent.
It's gray hat.
Yeah.
It's bad actions taken with anonymity to help people, right? Mm-hmm. It's not black hat because you're not trying to take stuff away. You're doing it maliciously, but with maybe good intent and you get a paycheck out of it.
Yeah.
It's different with the AI system is because it's an AI. It's not a program with set boundaries. So if they release it, the cat's out of the bag. There's no fixing it.
Yeah.
So the hope is that he's saying I can do this and he's not actually going to release it. And he's going to tell them how he broke in so no one else does this bad thing. Because
he
sees it.
Yeah, he called it chat SE2.
But because if he releases the open source, it's out there. He has no more reason to get paid anything. He has because it's out there.
Yeah.
The damage is done. So
not to mention, we were talking about where the laws currently exist around ChatGPT and AI.
Yeah.
Technically, he could let it out or use it himself to hack something and possibly be able to get out on the whole.
Yeah.
Well, the AI just ran amok. I didn't tell it to go and I said don't go to the Pentagon. It just didn't listen. Like there's so many layers of what he could or couldn't do.
Because like we were talking about the last couple weeks, there's that level of where legislation and ethics haven't caught up to the technology.
Yeah.
And also we are incapable just physically by the way it was designed, incapable to look under the hood at these AIs.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't prove that he didn't want it to do that because if he says so and it did it, we have no way of proving that his inputs directly led to it. It just did it.
Do you guys listen to Joe Rogan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear the one recently within the past like 30 days, maybe with Mark Andreessen?
I've heard chunks. I haven't heard the whole thing yet. But it's the level of just like, okay, this is doomsday speak. This is
it was very, very factual. And it came off the heels when we did the AI, but then obviously Mark Andreessen being who he is, he's got deeper ties than we'll ever have. And
I'm very well aware of my station in this life. Yeah.
I was just like, wow. But he explains it so real, so good, so simple that you almost look at it for what it is, not this big scary. It's like, oh, wow, this could go either way.
There's a guy who he explained how he became one of the best, professors ever. And it was you learn how what you do as a job. You then learn how to explain that to another person in your field. Then you learn how to explain that to a normal person. Mm-hmm. And then you learn how to explain that to a child. If you can nail all three of those, doesn't matter what you're dealing with.
Yep.
You'll make everyone understand it. And so he is a master of explaining that platform. It's kind of like if like Neil deGrasse Tyson is my favorite example of this. If you watch old things of him, he goes full astrophysics to its highest.
Yeah.
Now he's breaking stuff down kind of like, okay, so if you go to McDonald's and he'll explain astrophysics from McDonald's and it just clicks. You're like,
Yes. That's what he actually used an example, not with Neil deGrasse Tyson, but how you can ask ChatGPT to go and explain quantum physics and it will go and explain it in the theme of a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my gosh, I get it now. Holy smokes. Are you hot?
A little bit.
Yeah, it's warm in here.
I like to think so. It's the beard.
Yeah, that's pretty hot. Should we try to turn on that AC and see if that'll work? I just don't want to hear it.
It's not to the point where it's unbearable.
Well, I can.
It's the
whiskey. Mm. And whiskey. Just
you think how I feel.
Our next glass is 100 proof. So.
Ooh. Yeah. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, sorry to all of our listeners, all of you. We did come into this today talking about, we've done AI for a while. We can transition into other topics and here we are.
You're going right back to it. Well, actually, but I was going to ask.
It's a hot topic. It's a buzz topic.
Yeah, from your side on the cybersecurity, on the client side.
Yeah.
How do you deal with this?
So it is one of those things where it is a bit out of the bag and it's from ours. We are trying to figure out the best way to look at it. And I'm always I go with the glass half full, except for now, because I chugged it. Usually it works out well because for ChatGPT, it is essentially a gigantic database somewhere with a really good algorithm set up.
Yeah.
And it's just the computing power is at a state now where it can do, millisecond decisions. So for mine, you're talking about day to day. If you have thousands of alerts or 20 or 30 emails, or you're at a company that has like 50 or 60,000 people, we can now use the AI and ChatGPT to essentially program like, hey, look, this is what good looks like. So, you know, this is definitely an internal email. You know, this definitely came from accounting. And yes, you did get in trouble. You didn't need to report this to us.
Yeah.
It responds. Could sound potentially like a person. And you're now talking about, instead of having a tier one
automated help desk.
Yeah. So like MSP could then get very, very slimmed down. Mm-hmm. Our team can stay very slimmed down where I work. And now you're talking about hiring 3 or 4 people who know what they're doing and they don't have to deal with the really annoying day-to-day stuff where I work.
It's so crazy how it's eliminating jobs, but yet it's going to make many more. Yeah.
It's more, I don't think of it eliminating as it actually is just focusing up because you still need some tier one people who actually are hands-on looking at it. Cause essentially at some point something will come up where it just goes, yeah, I got nothing, bro. Sorry. Hey, I need eyes on. And then you can filter over to there. Now you can set aside some of the time that you used to do, I guess, the dumb tier one stuff.
Yeah.
Let's train our people to get better.
It's like when secretaries and bookkeepers started using typewriters, right? Same sort of thing. There's some people that were in the job previously that couldn't use typewriters, but there's all the people that came after that could.
Yeah,
It just changes and focuses the job with technology.
Something we're trying to work on is if we get enough kind of our workload gets down to a certain point and we get to a place where we have what I guess spare time.
Yeah.
We want to set aside once or twice a month to do like 3 or 4 hours of really deep training in our job. And there's a whole bunch of tools like TryHackMe.
It's funny.
But so it's like, that'd be great. Instead of just stuck doing the same emails from the same people over and over again.
Yeah.
Nope, this is totally fine. Or nope, this is bad. Block it. And that's the other thing too. This is bad. Okay. Go find every copy on our network. Yank it. Go make sure that that's blocked from ever sending from us again. Pull it. Take all the hashes and values of the bad email. Send them to the internet to let everyone else know this is bad.
Hell, there's a lot of automation that's already integral to, MSPs, especially when you get into enterprise level. But, I mean, we talk about some of the tools that we use. Sentinel-1.
It's a
great antivirus, anti-malware, all that. Mm-hmm. And it already, it was built on the premise of using AI to do that.
Yeah.
Did they used to call it machine learning or do they still call it machine learning?
I've only heard AI now. I used to hear machine learning, but it's all artificial intelligence.
Yeah. So essentially, the machine learning has always been there. The AI component is there's a level of like processing where the computer, if you will, makes its own decisions. It's almost the exact same thing. We're just talking just a slight leap forward.
Yeah.
So that's why I miss machine learning because it was way more accurate to what this tool is doing.
It's a machine and it's learning.
It's just a different type of technology too. They switch from the legacy machine learning that's been in place forever that basically simulates it by just taking in vast quantities of information to now it's taking the vast quantities of information, but it's actually a probability matrix as opposed to a learning and repeating matrix.
Right.
And being able to write your own answers.
I have a question more for you and Ed, right? More on the client and then the MSU side.
Mm-hmm.
You said when you have some time, you can mm-hmm. go and dig deep on some training. How do you do training on a platform and a scenario that's presented on our door that is changing daily?
Constant.
Constant what though? How do you, you're training just, for...
It depends. So a lot of these, there's one that like, so the Try Hack Me is, yeah. it's an online yeah. one. It's literally, they have servers set up and your goal is to break in. So now you're training yourself to think like the threat actors mm. or the bad people mm-hmm. and all this and that. So you're constantly honing your skills about, okay, how would I break in? And then when you get in, you're like, that's awesome. Wait, is that something we've thought about at our work?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Let me go over here and make some phone calls.
It's going to kill us.
Yeah, exactly. So there's things like that. There's also just an insane amount of reading and keeping up on stuff.
Fast as it comes out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going back to school. One of my coworkers is working on his doctorate degree in Jeez. The field.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of things that, I mean, at least on the client side, that's mm-hmm. what we always trying for. And then it does go fast, but it's really rare that something comes out that is really crazy. Mm-hmm. A complete side shot before.
You're always playing defense, it sounds like.
But mine is that I think we've hit a new level. And the only reason I say that is that for, I think it's about 3 to 6 months ago, Apple announced at like one of their last events that they now have two streams of updates. They have your normal everyday iOS update. They have separated out security updates. Hmm. So I don't know if you have an iPhone and you've been seeing like you're getting these little like 50 yeah. to 100 megabyte updates.
Yeah.
That is because they had a giant security flaw at a kernel level on anything that was iOS based. So every Apple device immediately had this issue. So they all had a huge security update.
What?
So yeah. normally,
how many is out there in the world?
They call them a 0 day. And usually how this one was found, I believe, is that it was a semi-known issue. They just didn't know how to figure it out. And a bunch of, I guess, white hat hackers figured out, hey, look, try and look at it this way. Found a patch, implemented a patch, and then announced that it was a thing. That's the scarier yeah. part about our yeah. job. Is that
I feel like I'm the girl on the ring right now, and I just saw it with all these yes. words.
yes. Yes. Oh, I can break down all of it. It's just essentially, so the 0 day is essentially, oh no, we saw a thing.
Yeah.
We do not know how to fix it.
Ah, gotcha. And like almost like a ground zero when whatever happened.
Exactly
happened.
That.
Okay.
So instead of a ground zero, it's a 0 day. Got same it. Exact content or concept.
But. And then correct me if I'm wrong. There's kind of as the public, as the people not in that career field, mm-hmm. there's kind of two ways to see these issues. There's one, which is the preferred way, which is, hey, we had this issue. This is the patch. Yep. And you don't need to know how long it's been an issue because it never became an actual problem, but yeah. it was an issue. Then there's the other time that's like,
nothing to see here.
Exactly. And then we there's the other time it. That's like, yeah. hey, sorry, this broke. We're working on a fix. And that means that someone did something bad using it. Mm-hmm. And that's when you should be concerned because yeah. they don't have the fix yet.
How do you guys do that on the MSP side?
Well,
I mean, the training component.
We have a lot of tools and resources. We also have applications like
primarily the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But through our channels.
Yeah. yeah.
So we have like Bullfish and yeah, that yeah. kind of stuff. And it sends campaigns out and ranks everybody on, you know, percentages.
I'm just saying like the training, how do you guys get up on that? It's changing every day. That's so crazy.
It is one of the cool things about being an MSP. We have so many vendors. We have so many partners, both in the space that serve us and that we provide to other folks. That when things happen, we're all nerds. We're all within the same circles. We all have the same concerns and things. Mm-hmm. So there is a very open flow of knowledge. There's newsletters, yeah. there's podcasts, there's things like that.
Yeah.
And so as, say, SentinelOne comes across an issue, they're usually good about saying, hey, here's your monthly podcast. These are the things to look out for. This is what's happening
right now.
And so they're
kind of what we're doing, I guess.
There's the active training of going out and seeing what's on the news and prepping for it. Like when there were some, for example, just throwing it out there, there were some Lenovo firmware updates that were black screening Lenovos and you had to do a certain thing to get the screens to come back up. And we saw it in the news and we were like, hey, we have these three Lenovo customers that were primary, we should be aware of this for the next week. This is how we fix it. And we got spun up on how to do that.
And we did. Wow. We saw lots of tickets on that.
yeah.
Really?
And but then there's the passive learning as well. That's like, ooh, this is an issue. I don't recognize this. Did we get any emails on this? Is there anything in our news? And we go out and look and there's something on it. And so it's a very give and take within our field.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever just get up one day and it happens? You just kind of go, what the fuck was that? You don't even know what happened.
Usually those are the days where I didn't get up. I got a phone call.
Yeah.
And it was middle of the night and I haven't slept since. Those are usually when I go,
What was that?
Did I pick the right job?
No, but I mean, like, seriously, like, you don't even know what the attack was, the threat, how to fit. I mean, it's so just that gnarly.
There is a part of my brain that kind of goes like, I've never seen this before. Nice. And there's, it's great conversations where that's, the team is a big part of it. And I know that Ed, especially, I know you, both you guys will say that the team is a key component. It's almost the most important, because you can train anyone to use a tool or how to triage based upon, here's your paperwork, read the books, you're good.
Yeah.
A good team is literally, if you're in the middle of something went wrong and you're, you know, you're hour 17 straight and you've been working in shifts for 3 days and you see something's like, I check this out. This is how they got in. They found their way through the back door over here, and they found the way because this port was open. Oh, that's genius.
I never thought of that.
Nice. Right. I am so pissed off, but man, that was well done.
Yeah. Brilliantly played.
Well, yes. Yeah.
That's something that's always fun between Ed and I. Ed obviously has a ton more experience than I do. He's our, you know, senior tech and everything like that. But then I've done things like deep dived into Excel and things like that. That was just my passion as I learned. And so there is that give and take, and usually he gives a lot more than I do, but there are those issues where, man, been banging your head against a computer for the last hour, and he doesn't like me taking credit, so he's jangling his keys in the background.
What was that?
I thought someone had a Yeti with ice in it for a second because the headphones
are on. Are you on a chair?
No, what happened was every time I moved, my keys were jingling. So I took them off and set them quietly behind me, but nothing gets
you got called
me.
Out. Yeah, but
quietly, man. Like when you're walking back in the house when you were supposed to be home an hour ago.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll never hear me.
If I turn the car off 6 miles down the road and coast.
All right, tell us about this next little taste of Whiskey and Wires.
McKenna.
I've had that only once.
So this is tried and true. I mean, this is a good bottle and bond bourbon. I mean, it's been around forever. And
where's it from?
It's from Kentucky.
Mm.
So I've never heard of this until my brother brought it up to me maybe 4 years ago. And it is very good.
and it's very good.
And it's bottled and bond.
Really quickly, how have you guys not brought up Neat, the documentary, on this podcast?
Well, we are now.
Ooh, why have I've heard of that, but I don't think I've seen it.
So it is a full documentary about the history of bourbon in the U.S. because it is one of the most regulated alcohols
really
in the world, because it is, the government actually regulates that bourbon. It has to have like this much mash. It has to be this long in a barrel. It has to be, you go less than that, you're not a bourbon.
That's what the bottled and bond means, is that's part of the process. These particular bottles, and it's more of a formality, more of a tradition at this point. And
it's the second amount I've ever learned from anybody was that documentary. Number one was just sitting and listening to Ed and his brother go off on bourbons.
Because you have a lot. Well, I imagine you're going to have a lot of people trying to fake it, right? Saying that it's something when it's not, adding a bunch of crap in
but
there.
But it also tells you, like, literally, when you look at the bottle, look for this, this, and this, and you go to the store and just kind of go like, oh, I thought that was one.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened with them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fireball's not real.
Santa, yeah, exactly. What? Santa isn't real. What about Barney?
It's like the distinctions with the number of years that they've been, it's been.
Yes.
You know, kind of the age range based on what they claim. Because if it's been bottled for 10 years, they're going to tell you it's been bottled. But if they say it's been bottled for at least three, it's probably three.
You know? Yeah. Bottle and bond originally started back, I believe it was right after Prohibition.
Yeah.
Where everybody was making everything in a bathtub and selling it as something else and refilling bottles. And people would get sick and die and get blindness and all that. So this was actually government certified.
Yep.
That was tried and true, 100 proof. You're not going to get sick from it.
Federal warehouses, federally guarded.
And it's the real deal.
It's crazy.
That's awesome.
And that's where the seal came from, the official, you know, bottle and bond seal.
Oh, I like this.
So
the smell,
more like
that smell is amazing.
Yeah, it's like a cinnamon almost.
It's one of the things I've noticed, Heaven Hill product. The higher up you go in price of an alcohol, especially of a bourbon or a whiskey, the smell gets strong.
Yeah.
But there's a weird smoothness. And I wonder if that's just because the initial smell burns all the hairs off your nose. So it's just a clean
shot. I can't get through.
Yeah.
So this was actually a bottle that my wife got me for my birthday.
Ooh.
The thing that I really love about this is what you were saying with the smoothness. I really like a I really like a spicy. So it goes down so smooth, but it leaves those tingles. It's a very, very spicy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that silence as we all just enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. That, no, I'm kind of running through ideas of just the, like, he keeps asking questions like, how do you get through the day? What do you wake up to? And I'm just kind of like, man, some days.
You're like, I don't know. I just do it.
Yeah.
Well, this morning I woke up knowing that I'd have a couple glasses of this. So that was a pretty good motivator. No,
I was mid-morning. I was getting into arguments about vendors and contracts. And
yeah,
that is one thing you were, to go back, I've been wondering about this as an MSP. So the only definitive downside I've found to being the actual, working on the client side directly.
Yeah.
There is only so much we can look at before all of a sudden I have 32 sales reps knocking on my door saying, are you ready to purchase? As opposed to like, we're just trying to figure out if this is a right
fit
for us.
What just happened?
Everybody would love to just be, we're a Microsoft shop and everything is Microsoft. That'd be great. But to get their full suite that you would need to secure your entire network from an email gateway perspective is... could potentially be like 5 to 10 times what it would cost for you to do it yourself piecemeal.
Right. I feel bad because I'm literally watching Ed in a sauna.
Oh, I'm having flashbacks of Wizard of Oz right now. I'm melting.
Like, I just want to be done.
Yes.
Well, it's...
No, he's like, I'm sitting here. I'm not even talking. Why did I come? I could be in the air conditioning right now.
Yeah. Wait, but I wanted some whiskey. Doggone it.
He brought the whiskey. I'm pretty sure he could have it in the AC whenever he wants.
That's a good point.
That's the big boss right there.
That is true.
So, but, okay. So rounded out on the cybersecurity side, like what are some things that orgs or people in your position, what are you watching for, like the top two right now?
The our biggest conversation is that the weakest link in the chain of any corporation is the person behind the computer.
Yeah, my man.
Yeah. And that
nailed
is
nailed it. Preaching
that
the same thing.
Who or where you are, and it's just because. Okay. Previous company doesn't matter. Okay, so we. I have a very, anti cybersecurity stance on phishing campaigns.
Yeah.
I think they are good to a point, but at a certain point, even Google stopped doing them for like 4 years. And I always bring this up because it was like they what they did is they realized they were getting so focused on trying to catch people.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimate company emails were not getting answered, and something that would take 10 to 15 minutes was now taking 2 to 4 days.
Yeah, because so they'd be like, I'm not going to answer you.
Well, because they just didn't know anymore.
Yeah.
So again, now with the going back to the ChatGPT AI kind of a thing, you can actually just start going like, I don't have to deal with it anymore. But we would get inundated at my previous company. And we had one where it was one of those situations where a lady... We sent out one around Valentine's Day because, again, you're trying to target around areas where you know someone's going to click.
Yep.
It was a 1-800-Flowers thing. So go ahead. This will be great. It's like, hey, just come get some flowers. You have your flowers ready. So she comes down to our actual office because at the time they had a corporate policy. Again, previous company, in case anyone I work with is listening, previous company.
Not right now.
Not currently. And it was if you clicked once, you got written up on any of our phishing emails. Yeah. Second click. You are on probation to potentially be removed from your job.
Jeez.
Gee, yeah, that's
yeah.
Something I dug my heels in with all I had no pull whatsoever. But so I got on him. So she comes down to let us know that her husband died 3 weeks prior.
Damn.
And had been leaving her notes, and she was getting packages and all kinds of stuff, basically of you're going to be fine without me. She thought this was one of them.
Yeah.
A little bit later, they did another one where the company we were working with decided that it's not like we're in, global national entity or anything. It's totally fine to spoof a completely legitimate company in the Midwest that has their own website. And so that came up. And so now we have all these people who are amazing at checking all of our stuff, but also know how to do internet research, are getting these emails that look super suspicious and are now calling this third party company that has no clue what's going on. And again,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And the best part is no one forwarded it to us as they should have, because we had all this stuff in place. Send it to us. You're literally going to get a shiny sticker. Thanks. And you're good to go.
So are you saying that don't get so focused on it?
There was a bit of that. So it was kind of like that is your weakest link, because these are people that was both sides of just somebody who is really doing due diligence, but they got hit because it got personal. And then some other people who are like, I don't need cybersecurity. I'll handle it myself. People, I'm sure you guys have seen the the CEO is reaching down to random secretary number 7.
Oh, yeah.
Can you buy me a bunch of gift cards?
I see that. They usually do a screenshot and go,
exactly.
Really? I mean, because they know
so
by now.
They can spend all the time in the world locking down the network, only opening up certain ports, making sure only MAC addresses that are supposed to be on the network are on the network. And then even after all that, if somebody just clicks the wrong button wrong.
Yeah.
So 90% of our job.
Everybody's done.
Yeah. The Target. Target is my favorite story because Target technically didn't get hit when they had that big thing. It was a third yeah. party company yep. that did some work with them for like 60 days a year prior that got popped.
Oh, dang.
And they laid in wait and they went through their entire database of client list and found out something with Target. Yep. And then they worked their way because Target didn't close down that account. So they found a backdoor into Target from the CEO of the previous company. And it's one of those situations where we're not monitoring for that.
Right.
You just have to make sure that, okay, this account is no longer active or this contract is done with this third party, block all access.
Yeah.
So they, then that wasn't, not only was that not a thing, that was hard to do, but now certain tools, especially in the AD realm, you can give like temporary AD access.
What's
okay.
AD?
Hey, you got access to our network for like 60 days, 90 days. We'll give you a buffer.
What's AD?
And they're done. Oh, sorry. Active Directory. So,
gotcha. So access like to
front,
it all.
You have your front door.
Yeah.
If I hand you a key, okay, you can get access, but it's digital. So it's, you have access and there's certain levels of access. So, you know, like you have a safe in this room. Okay. Here's access to the door. You're not getting into my safe. You know, safe is privileged. Safe is for three people. So AD, and I guess that goes a little bit more to RBAC, which is a rule-based access control, which is a fancy AD.
It's really fancy.
Yeah. I'm glad I remembered what that was at this mini glasses. But that is where you start to get a little more into the weeds on the threat vectors is when you were talking about what can you train on? What can you learn to get better at?
Yep.
And there's only so many things you can watch, and that's where the AI will hopefully take over or an MSP. So even where I work, we have some of our tools where we have enlisted the support of their tier one to augment what we are doing as well.
Yeah.
And that's been every place I've worked at prior. And I'm pretty sure everywhere you go moving forward, because it's a dollars and cents thing. The deals that you can get with an MSP can sometimes augment what you can get just directly. Or again, if you can't, maybe you have this tool's amazing, but they don't have their own team to run it. And we may not have a budget to run it.
Right.
Oh, you know, hey, let's look at this third party place.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And they work with you. Those are the best ones I've found. There's a couple of tools that I've worked with and some of them where it's like, hey, look, we have our people. We'll just let you know if we see something we can't fix, as opposed to like, hey, we're actively doing an investigation. We think we got it, but if you'd like to hop on a call, we're on this call. You can join us and watch with us, jump in, do it yourself. We'll guide you how to do it with our tool. That's what I like. Yeah. It's the collaborative effort.
Right. Which you should be.
Oh, yeah.
And from the MSP side, it's exactly the same. Like we use a little bit tongue in cheek. We use some phishing simulations, right? But the way that we do. Yeah, I saw the shake of the head. But it's.
Well, you don't like phishing?
It is specifically made so that the people who fail never know that they failed.
Yeah.
It goes to the CEO and it goes to us for information to know what sort of training we send to our folks. It isn't used as a slap the wrist system because then people get suspicious, workflow slows down. We use it purely to gather information to see if there's a need for the training. If there is a need for the training, do we send the spoofing training? Do we send the spear phishing training? Yeah. Do we just send phishing on how to e-waste, right? It's to help the situation.
We're doing a reverse of that. So we actually have for accreditations, a lot of places have or insurances and things like that. You need to check these blocks that your people are trained up on, whatever.
Yeah.
So switching the gear.
We had a show on that.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. It switched around. We've just done a bunch of training.
Gotcha. This is the ones out, that people failed.
And we'll send out two. So here's one that is something we've been seeing in the wild. Here's something about that training that you were supposed to take.
Gotcha.
Because then now it's more of a, okay, did you not have time? Was there a click issue? We had.
Did it sink in?
Yeah. So like, and it's one of those slowly also
you're just not bright.
Exactly. It was the mouse jiggler. So there's like nine guys right now who do know cybersecurity going like mouse jiggler. So essentially what that is it's a small application that basically every however long you want to will jiggle your mouse cursor on the screen only a quarter of a like a to make sure your computer never locks.
Yep.
So thus getting around all the security that's in place, making sure you lock your computer so no one else gets in your computer. And again, back to my buddy of mine had a t-shirt and I wish I stole it from him. It was called PebCAC. Problem exists between chair and computer.
Or the, that's like the shirts we're working on.
we've said that same thing. And the ID10T and all. There's acronyms out the wazoo for.
I probably should wear some of those.
Military-wise, I got hit by the ID10T once. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. But there was... It's the exact same thing that we tell our clients. We are very straightforward, especially when we get involved. If they need that security part where we put our security tools and everything on, that we will get involved. We can, as long as everything's good, make sure that you're safe, you're secure, but your biggest vulnerability will always be your people, right? It's we can secure you from any outside threat, but if you willingly let them in, you're done. That's it.
Yeah.
You just let them in.
That's on you.
That and password managers.
Please.
Password managers.
Ed loves password managers.
Yeah. Yep. It's one of my big pushes.
Yeah.
Which
one's your favorite?
Yeah.
Ed? I use Dashlane because it gave me a deal, but they're ranked pretty good.
Dashlane is one of my favorites.
That was the most New York Mafia thing I've heard on a car sale.
Hey, I got a deal.
Because it gave me a deal.
Yeah. So
it was Dashlane. I threw the LastPass or Dashlane, and Dashlane stepped up.
Dashlane got hit several times years ago, and they got hit a couple of times, and they got popped, and people lost credentials.
And that price went.
But they also literally kind of did the pick themselves up and go like, oh, all right, now what?
Yep.
They have been beast moding ever since, and they are actively trying to make it a lot more secure.
We use 1Password.
Yep. 1Password is another good one.
Yeah, we use LastPass, and then they got hacked, and we got kind of.
Yeah. LastPass is another one. I was on LastPass personally for a while. I've recently tried a new one called Bitwarden.
Okay. I've heard. Yeah.
I like them for two reasons. One, it's, as far as I can tell, 100% free on as many devices as you need. So I have it on my phone.
So far,
and
they're trying to get numbers. Yeah.
So, and that's what I'm, and that's what I thought. But also, they have a 100% free version you can download and self cloud host. So you can literally make your own, if you have your own server at your house, if you're that nerdy.
Interesting.
Or own, what I'm wanting to try and experiment with is if Amazon has their own cloud servers.
Yeah,
their AWS.
Virtual system.
Yep. And they have multiple free tiers. I've been very intrigued to see, can I stand up my own password manager in the cloud in an AWS server? I'm not going to use it necessarily, but there's that part of my brain that goes full pocket protector nerd that thinks that's awesome. But that's my big one. And it's because everyone's like, I can't remember all these passwords. All those password managers, they lock all your stuff behind one password. So you just got to think of a really good passphrase. One of my old ones for years was, Wolverine is cool, but Deadpool is faster. That was one of my legitimate passwords about 5, 10 years ago. Or 10 years for anyone trying to hack me.
Yeah.
I don't use it
not
anymore.
Not now.
Because they've put all those... Put all those individual words at the top of their rainbow table, and now you're vulnerable.
Now it's capital dead.
We're in the middle of the superhero movie franchises. If that isn't near the top, a bunch of just versions of elite speak of Wolverine and Deadpool. Come on, but so essentially, it's because IBM did a giant thing about hacking, and they don't do passwords. They are all about a passphrase. One of my old instructors, he's like, I will never be hacked. I was like, bold claim, Cotton. Let's see how this works out. And he flat out goes, my family is from Russia. So I picked an English idiom and I translated it into Russian.
Yep. Nice. That you'll never.
He's like, how many rainbow tables do you know that include include old English literature and a Russian filter? And I went, to be fair, most hacking does come from that region. Just to burst the bubble a little bit. Yeah, exactly. I was like, so. But I love the thought process. So I leaned into that. And then my wife and family members, they don't I hate passwords. Okay. Start up a new one.
Yeah.
Click generate password.
And then just go with that.
Yeah. And save it to your browser. It's on your phone. It's on your browser. It's everywhere. And then you're never looking for a password book or a sticky note.
And you're squared away, doctor.
Or, the thing that makes every MSP squirm, you don't just have a file on your desktop.
No.
Or anything like that.
Yeah. No. That stuff doesn't exist anymore. I'd say that outdated servers everywhere. That's my biggest thing when I was talking to Ed when we first started talking about IT and some things. And there's things that I went through. So the A+ certification from CompTIA is literally welcome to computer. It starts from this is a mouse. Mm. This is how the mouse has progressed from back in the days where it was dials for X and Y and one big button all the way to now.
Yeah.
Well, they go over technology that they're like, well, this was deprecated back in 87. And I'm like, okay, cool. Almost older than me. I'll never see it.
No.
And then time and time again, you'll find one place that has it. Or again, military wise, there's just levels of DOD budget where you can't upgrade. There was a huge thing about the floppy disk thing. Currently all nuclear launch codes are on 5.5-inch floppy disks.
And they see it as a security plus.
Because no one could go and do it. If somebody gave me the cure to cancer and like...
And a floppy disk.
No. Here, it's on this VHS tape. I'd be like...
Anybody got a beta? How do I do it? I have nothing to play that.
I don't even have a DVD player.
And I was telling you the other day that without getting too far into it, there was a program when I was a software tester and stuff like that. That was one of my first jobs over there. And the... software and the programs we were working on was a digitized punch card system.
Mm-hmm.
It was a punch card programming, which is a antiquated by the broadest terms system, mm-hmm. that they, instead of bringing it to a new language and reprogramming it, it was better budget just to digitalize it.
Yeah.
And it's been that way for
ever
40 years now. there's people who aren't allowed to drive in the same car together because they're the only people who know how to program it. Like it's...
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's so crazy.
But again, it's there's a reason why with cybersecurity and things like that, you are trained on the antiquated and the legacy systems as well, because
you got to be able.
Not
to
so
go
much
and
my
do
job.
It.
That is the one thing that is nice about mine is I can kind of be like the it's 5 years old.
But
when you're doing network, especially, that's the point of the MSP is you're the jack of all trades. But you will see the. Or have to have that conversation. And that's why it's good to have, like you said, the example about the punch card thing, or the one I was talking about earlier about Jersey losing all of their, New Jersey had a giant server crash and they basically lost their entire social security, I believe, payments.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because the entire system ran on COBOL. And they'd never upgraded it, and it was going to cost like billions to upgrade. God. And the reasoning was not because it was just like there was only 3 or 4 companies that could do it, and only 2 of those companies were like certified to work on government state computers.
Yeah.
And they were all in their like late 60s or 70s because no one has used COBOL since kind of COBOL.
Yeah.
Python is definitely, that's everyone I'm sure talks about it. If you learn any coding on any version of IT job you have, Python will probably save your life because it is extremely versatile. It runs on everything you want it to. And up until last DEF CON, it was completely unhackable.
Yeah. Plus,
DEF CON is its own episode here. You guys have really
I was just going to say, I've heard about 4 or 5 different episodes we could pull out of this that we can talk about. Yeah.
Plus, it's the world's greatest and best thing to ever. It's literally like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory for anyone in the IT space.
Because really?
It's like, you'll get. So there was one guy I talked to, just a quick story, is that he essentially hacked the emergency broadcast system.
Hmm.
And it took him roughly 2 weeks because of shipping. So he went on eBay. He found out that 2 companies make the servers that they run on. All the stuff runs on. He got them. They're supposed to be completely wiped and junked. Like literally drills through the hard drives, wiped and junked. He found most of them on eBay because a guy found a bunch of them in a dump. And he got like 5 of them. And 2 of them had all the stuff in it. And 1 of them didn't have any of the original admin passwords changed that you can grab from any PDF on the internet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
luckily,
way.
The gentleman in question didn't say where he worked, but he's like, my job would be under threat if I really did this for real. So he goes, I built a Faraday cage, which is essentially a giant wire mesh cage where no signals go in or out.
Yep. Kind of like this garage.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, judging by the heat, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But he locked
it like,
out.
Yeah. So does air. Yeah.
Spent a year. He spent a year basically saying, hey, this is how to hack it. This is how easy to hack it. You guys need to really proof up your stuff. Nothing happened for a year.
He said, okay.
No, he said, hello, I have been invited to talk at DEF CON in 3 weeks. I'm going to be presenting my findings. Roughly 6 days later, the entire system nationwide was upgraded.
Yep.
Because they knew if he got anywhere near talking to a person in DEF CON, as opposed to what he did do, which was release all of his research.
So yeah.
200 pages. He released it all out. He goes, look, here's how it's done. It doesn't work anymore. So here, everyone can have it. But he's like, I tried left and right, but until basically I didn't threaten. I just let him know I was going to basically give a TED talk to a bunch of nerds.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden they tried to get something done.
Which is again, a kind of a callback to this ChatGPT thing where there's a guy who has an in and he's threatening to go public, and it's the threaten to go public and release it and have the mass consequences that makes them want to take action against the small consequences.
Yeah.
It's
hopefully it's a self-policing.
That's why you buy
thing.
Some dirt and you have nothing on it.
As long as you don't have that you know, anarchist little shit.
Because we're talking about, we can't keep up, like, logistically and, like, with laws and everything else, you physically can't keep up with the changing landscape.
Yeah.
Like when they did the right to be forgotten in the UK, they left a loophole in that where you could literally, anything you wanted to be forgotten, you could submit paperwork. So basically the day after it got approved, a ton of pedophiles in the country submitted paperwork to have it removed from the internet that they were a pedophile. And by law, you had to.
Because there was information about them personally.
Because they didn't think about, maybe there's some things that kind of just needed to stay there.
Yeah.
They have since fixed it, but that's one of those where they did so tried so hard to get something put out so fast. Crazy. There's that one thing they never thought of, and it's same thing. So the internet self-polices itself, like, look, I found a thing, and like it's real easy to do. I think we should get on this, and then everyone patches it, and he shows how. One, it's patched, it's no longer a problem, but if you show us how, you have now showed us one way that it did work mm-hmm. that we don't have to even explore again. Yeah. Now we can work on to the other things. And so it's the...
Dude.
I know we've been talking forever, but it's really good whiskey.
Yeah.
The one big thing that we're trying to find in the cybersecurity space is it is a huge issue if any company goes, hey, we got hit for blank.
Mm-hmm.
So it's trying to find a way to either make it less of a no-no that you've been hacked or you've been popped or anything like that, just to get the word out that, hey, here's what happened to me.
Yeah.
If there's a way we could anonymize that data. That this got some
and
company
use it as a useful tool to go and learn.
Company redacted was, you know, had this many systems hit by this attack
mm-hmm.
and get that on the internet.
And everybody can learn
hours.
From it.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's going to be our next show.
It's the whole premise Definitely. Of why white hat hacking, penetration testing, why that entire branch of IT, that broad necessary branch exists is because if there aren't positive forces policing it, then naturally the swing of it will be negative forces will police it.
It's gonna implode.
No one wants that.
The same reason you always try and shoot a dog in any video game you play. Will they let you or not?
Bro, no, I try to pet the dog. And what are you doing?
No. So there's two ways of that. There's the Grand Theft Auto approach, or there's the Destiny 2 approach, where they hid a robot dog buried in one of their levels that you actually had to go and hunt out. And there's a trophy for it called Good Boy Protocol, because it's a robot dog that's been trapped.
It's like Ready Player One.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm gonna go get the token. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Thank you. For hanging out. That was a lot of information. That was actually one of our longest ones, but that was super.
I was worried about
super.
That.
No, like, but that was good.
Come on by. I'm like, how much time you got, guys?
I mean, well, we need to go back and talk about the, you know, company redacted. We just got hit by, that would be a great one.
Yeah.
And we're going to make sure we've got ice packs for you that you can shove them in right. four different orifices and make sure that you are nice and warm.
I think it's six.
Or I'm sorry. We've got like cooler packs up in here.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna be good, but all right, guys. Just thanks for hanging out. Thank you for bringing the whiskey
and
the tasties.
And thank you for coming and being our guest.
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate it. That was good.
Hopefully, we can have you here again in the future.
Oh yeah,
and we shall see you again when we talk through. Dude, that whiskey is good.
Yeah,
I know. We're all just like, fucking hot.
Yeah. We went from the 80 proof that was like, man, that was good, to the 100 proof. Like, oh no.
Yeah, it's 200 degrees outside, and we're doing the friggin' moonwalk on the sun.
Right.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys. Next show.